Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. John Harding, a professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Harding.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure to be here.
Researchers with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine are exploring the effect of disease on thyroid hormone levels in pigs and potential treatment options for the resulting reduction in growth performance. What are thyroid hormones and what do they do?
Bruce, the thyroid hormones are involved in the regulation of metabolic rate and growth and fetal development in pregnant females, and their roles really involve a long list of daily bodily functions specific to the many organ systems that we have. So there are multiple thyroid hormones, and some have biological activities like T3 and T4, but others are without biological function. And it's the balance between these active and inactive forms that control metabolic rate at a level which is appropriate for each of us as individuals. It's kind of like the Goldilocks scenario, you know, not too much and not too little, but just right for all of us. And really what's involved is a complex network of signaling between the brain and the pituitary gland and the thyroid gland and then the peripheral organs such as heart and muscle and kidney. And that's used to maintain this proper balance of active and inactive forms of these thyroid hormones. And normally, if too much active form is present, some would be converted to an inactive form to slow things down, and then vice versa.
How are the thyroid hormones related to swine disease?
Well, we'll start off in humans. There is a syndrome called NTIS, which stands for non-thyroidal illness syndrome, that sometimes occurs when, you know, we are under periods of chronic stress or some chronic diseases. And with NTIS, the deficiency in the thyroid hormones appears to be related to really a dysfunction of the normal signaling process, you know, between the brain and the pituitary gland and the thyroid gland. So, for instance, when the active forms are too low, so we're in a hypothyroid state, the normal signals should be sent to the thyroid gland to produce more thyroid hormones. But in individuals with NTIS, those signals do not occur, so the individual remains in the hypothyroid state. Now, how does this relate to pigs? Well, we discovered a couple of years ago that following PRRS infection, and that could be in any age of animal, the active forms of thyroid hormone decrease, similar in some ways to NTIS in humans. So this hypothyroidism happens to be concurrent with the period of viremia, PRRS viremia, and that is when the virus is present in the blood. And that typically lasts for 2 to 3 weeks. And then as the virus is cleared from the blood, the thyroid hormones return to their baseline levels, which are much higher. And this transient hypothyroidism appears to occur in all ages of pigs and also in fetuses. And in fetuses, it may affect their development and potentially their survival. And in postnatal pigs, so that'd be in the nursery grower or finisher, it's correlated with growth rate, meaning that growth rate decreases during these periods of hypothyroidism and then increase again upon recovery. And we found that animals that can sustain growth rate during PRRS challenge have less suppression of thyroid hormones. And that's either because they're shorter duration or the drop in thyroid hormones is not as severe.
I understand you have completed a new study. What prompted that study and what was the objective?
Well, the objective of the study was to determine if this transient hypothyroidism, the drop in thyroid hormones, is observed in other diseases, other commonly, you know, diseases that we experience in swine. And really what prompted it was this, you know, dramatic reduction in thyroid hormone levels that we saw with PRRS. We were wondering if this was a PRRS-specific effect, so something unique to the PRRS virus, or whether this was a broad effect across many different diseases.
How did you actually conduct the work?
Well, the first thing we did we collaborated with other researchers who had performed animal challenge studies in animal care facilities. You know, we wanted well-controlled studies for the most part so that we could investigate the effect of a single pathogen or a single disease. We obtained sera from several experiments from both inoculated and also the control animals, and sometimes across multiple time points. So just as summary, we obtained from the Iowa State University some sera from pigs in Salmonella and Mycoplasma Heil pneumonia trials. And then from the Prairie Swine Center, we also obtained some other sera from a Salmonella experiment. From the University of Nebraska and Lincoln, we obtained sera from pigs that were in a PCV2 trial. And then I had my own banks of sera from some of my own research in Brachyspira or swine dysentery, as well as a PERS mycoplasma co-infection trial that I set up specifically for this purpose. And then we quantified T3 and T4, those active forms of thyroid hormones, from all of these trials in our lab at the University of Saskatchewan.
What has been learned as a result of this?
Well, of those five diseases, it'll be circovirus, PCV type 2, Salmonella, you know, multiple serotypes of Salmonella, Mycoplasma Heil pneumonia, Brachyspira, and PERS mycoplasma co-infection, we really found solid evidence of a prolonged suppression in thyroid hormones in only the PCV trial and the PERS mycoplasma co-infection trial. Interestingly, with mycoplasma alone and with Brachyspira and Salmonella, there was no sustained suppression. You know, there maybe was a time point or two, but nothing that you could say over a large period of time or a long period of time, thyroid hormones were suppressed. So it's very interesting that this does appear to be an issue specific to PERS and to circovirus.
What are the next steps?
Well, the next step was to determine if we could supplement pigs with synthetic thyroid hormones, as we do in humans, and we fed these orally, and whether it would overcome suppression of thyroid hormones in the PERS and the PERS mycoplasma challenge trials. And we have run three different experiments now, testing different methods and supplementation doses, but unfortunately none have worked. So specifically, we can increase levels of thyroid hormone T4 in blood by feeding synthetic T4, but it does not convert to T3. And if we feed a combination of T4 and T3, both of those being the active forms, we only see an increase in T4 in the blood. So there's no real improvement in T3 levels, which would be very important. So given that, we really did not see any improvement at all in growth rate.
How will the information gathered so far be used or applied? By whom and for what purpose?
Well, unfortunately, we're at a dead end in terms of supplementation, thyroid hormone supplementation, which is really unfortunate. We were really hoping that we would see some benefit. That suggests to us, in fact, that this thyroid hormone suppression may, in fact, be a protective effect that the individual infected does for some reason that we don't really understand. But it is important for us to publish these results so that other researchers don't travel down the same path that we did.
What are the anticipated benefits of this project?
Well, we know there are at least two viruses, PERS and circovirus, that dysregulate the thyroid metabolism, at least transiently for that 2 to 3 week period. You know, this helps us understand why growth rates may be slowed when pigs are infected by these. And there's also considerable pig-to-pig variation in response to PERS virus. So there may be an opportunity to select for more resilient pigs. That'd be those that have less suppression following infection, and they grow faster. And using samples that we obtained from the porcine host genome consortium, and these are large-scale inoculation experiments that were performed at the Kansas State University by a large group of researchers. You know, we've learned that T3 levels following PERS challenge, so this is one of the active forms, has low to moderate heritability. So it is possible to select for animals if there's a desire to do that. And obviously, our results may also be of some benefit to human researchers studying NTIS, although the diseases are not entirely the same in species, but at least we do have now a model that could be used in the future.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think we want to, you know, put out a big thank you to our financial sponsors. And in this case, it was NSERC through an alliance grant, Ontario Pork and Genome Alberta, and also to collaborating researchers at the Prairie Swine Center, University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and the Iowa State University. And we do hope to get these results published soon.
Thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure to speak with you today, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. John Harding, a professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.